It's just sort of soft. Can you turn it up a little? It's loud enough because my voice is super soft. So. So Kalakanda Prabhu wanted me to make an announcement that we won't have a car going up to Jacksonville today. So if you wanted to go, then tough luck. So we're going to finish this chapter 12 where we left off. There's just 6 verses left. And then we'll talk about people's realizations about what happened regarding the 3 devotees. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we'll go around and read the translations. 31, I believe. I think he did 30 the other day. And the first verse that has a purport, which I think is 32, we can chant together. So does somebody want to read the translation for 31?
Ask the moon. In its waxing fortnight develops day after day, so the royal prince Parikshit very soon developed luxuriantly under the care and the full facilities of his guardian grandfathers.
Okay, so we can chant this first verse that has a purport together. Yakshamano svamedena. Kyati droha jahasaya. Raja labda dano tayao. Nanyatra kara dandayo. Yakshamano spamerena. Yati droha jahasaya. Raja labda dano tadyao. Nanyatra kara dandayo. Does another people want to chant? Yakshamanaha, desiring to perform. Ashvamedena, by the horse sacrifice ceremony. Kyati droha, fighting with kinsmen. Jihasaya, for getting free. Raja, King Yudhisthira. Labdhadana, for getting some wealth. Tadyao. Thought about it. Na anyatra. Not otherwise. Kara dandayo. Taxes and fines. Translation. Just at this time, King Yudhisthira was considering performing a horse sacrifice to get free from sins incurred from fighting with kinsmen. But he became anxious to get some wealth, for there were no surplus funds outside of fines and tax collections. Report by Srila Prabhupada. As the brahmanas and vipras had a right to be subsidized by the state executive head had a right to collect taxes and fines from the citizens. After the battle of Kurukshetra, the state treasury was exhausted. Therefore, there's no surplus fund except the fund from tax collection and fines. Such funds were only sufficient for the state budget. Having no excess fund, the king was anxious to get more wealth in some way or other to perform the horse sacrifice. Maharaj Yudhisthira wanted to perform this sacrifice under the instruction of Bhishmadev. So in these Srimad Bhagavatam, sometimes Prabhupada gives us details about the Varnashram system and how it works. This is one such instance where learning that the Kshatriyas, they have a right to collect taxes. Some people complain about taxes, but in an ideal state, the administration is doing all kinds of good for the citizens. So it's natural, it makes sense to support the administration because people are getting benefits from it in different ways. They're getting protection from the Kshatriyas, and the Kshatriyas are, they try to make sure everyone's engaged in their prescribed duty. Everyone is, everyone has some duty to perform and they do it. And so, because the Kshatriyas are rendering service, they have to survive somehow or other. And the way the Kshatriyas survive is by exacting taxes. So, is there any questions about that point? So we'll continue. Somebody want to read, 33, I believe it is.
Understanding the hearty wishes of the king, his brothers, as advised by the infallible Lord Krishna, collected sufficient riches from the north, left by King Maruta.
Purport.
Maharaj Maruta, one of the great emperors of the world, He reigned over the world long before the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira. He was the son of Maharaj Avikshit and was a great devotee of the sun. Was a great devotee of the son of the sun god, known as Yamraj. His Maharaj Samvrata was a rival priest of the great Brihaspati, the learned priest of Brahmagods. He conducted
one sacrifice called Shankara Yajna, by which the Lord was so satisfied that he was pleased to hand over to him the charge of a mountain peak of gold. This peak of gold is somewhere in the Himalaya mountains, and modern adventurers may try to find it there. He was so powerful an emperor that at the day's end of sacrifice, the demigods from the other planets like Indra, Chandra and Brihaspati used to visit his palace. And because he had the gold peak at his disposal, he had sufficient gold in his possession. The canopy of the sacrificial altar was completely made of gold. In his daily performances of the sacrificial ceremonies, some of the inhabitants of the Vayuloka, airy planets, were invited to expedite the cooking work of the ceremony. And the assembly of the demigods in the ceremony was led by Vishwadeva.
By his constant pious work, he was able to drive out all kinds of disease from the jurisdiction of his kingdom. All the inhabitants of higher planets like Devaloka and Pitriloka were pleased with him for his great sacrificial ceremonies. Every day he used to give in charity to the learned Brahmins such things as bedding, seats, conveyances, and sufficient quantities of gold. Because of munificent charities and performance of innumerable sacrifices, the King of Heaven, Indradev, was fully satisfied with him and always wished for his welfare. Due to his pious activities, he remained a young man throughout his life and reigned over the world for 1,000 years. Surrounded by his satisfied subjects, ministers, legitimate wife, sons, and brothers, even Lord Sri Krishna praised his spirit of pious activities. He handed over his only daughter to Maharishi Angira, and by his good blessings, he was elevated to the kingdom of heaven. First of all, he wanted to offer the priesthood of his sacrifices to learned Brihaspati, but the demigods refused to accept the post because of the king's being a human being, a man of this earth. He was very sorry for this, but on the advice of Narada Muni, he appointed Samvarta to the post, and he was successful in his mission.
Success of a particular type of sacrifice completely depends on the priest in charge. In this age, all kinds of sacrifice are forbidden because there is no learned priest amongst the so-called Brahmins who go by the false notion of becoming sons of Brahmins without Brahminical qualifications. In this age of Kali, therefore, only one kind of sacrifice is recommended, Sankirtan Yajna, as inaugurated by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
So the different points that are made. One thing is, it's we can see how it's a great advantage for the Pandavas to have Krishna as their friend, because who else knew about this gold that was hanging out in the mountains except Krishna, because he's omniscient. And so he just said, why don't you just go up there and pick up all this gold and all your troubles will be over. So that Krishna uses his omniscient quality to help his devotees. And different times, especially in the Mahabharata, you see there was one time when Duryodhan had 5 arrows that were meant for killing the Pandavas. And Krishna advised Arjuna, just go to Duryodhan and beg for these 5 arrows. So because he was omniscient, he knew Duryodhan has the arrows, and because he knew Duryodhan was very charitable, if Arjuna went there, he got the arrows, then he would be saved from being killed in the war. So Krishna is very kind, and he uses his omniscience to facilitate his devotees in different ways. We learn a little bit more about Varnashram here. This king was giving all kinds of things to the Brahmanas in charity, because the Brahmanas are doing full-time service to the Lord, studying the scripture, teaching the scripture, worshipping the deity, teaching the deity worship. They don't have time to raise funds, so the kings would give them all the necessities of life. So the last point, which is interesting, we hear many times in Srila Prabhupada's books that in this age, Sankirtan is the only yajna recommended. So here he gives some reason why, because there aren't qualified brahmanas. This age, it's described Kalo Shudra Sambhava. People are born in this age as Shudras, so they don't have all the sacrifices have to be performed by qualified brahmanas. People who are in the mode of goodness, people who know what is to be done, what is not to be done, what is to be feared, what is not to be feared. People who know the difference between religion and irreligion. So there are very few qualified brahmanas in this age, so very little sacrifice could be performed. But this Sankirtan Yajna is something that anyone who has faith in the name of God can perform. And therefore we're actually very fortunate. Any of us can go anywhere and perform Sankirtan and please the Lord very easily. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Anything struck you in that purport that was special that we didn't mention?
Constant pious work, he was able to drive out all kinds of disease from the jurisdiction of his kingdom. So it sounds like these kings, that they had, you know, not only were they taking taxes and things like that, but they actually had the qualities to make the praja or the citizens happy. So I mean, unlike the taxes that are exacted from us today, and we don't have clean air or water or food.
It's true. They would perform a sacrifice to the personality of Godhead with the wealth that they collected, and therefore everything was auspicious, everything was pure, everything was, everybody was moving up on the spiritual path. And then because of the power of their piety, so many good things were there. You know, there was sufficient rain and sufficient sun, and the climate was stable, you know. Because that's all controlled by the demigods, and the demigods were pleased by the sacrifice. So we can continue. Somebody want to read 34?
It says, the success of a particular type of sacrifice completely depends on the priest in charge. So does that mean, like when we're doing fire sacrifices and things like that, then the success of that depends upon the priest who's doing the sacrifice?
Yes, that's very important. Also, many different factors. We should also have the congregational chanting of the holy name should be there at every sacrifice, because that's the real sacrifice for this age. There's this pastime where in the ceremony for the installation of the temple in Vrindavan, they did so many kinds of sacrifices there, because the local brahmanas wouldn't consider it a bona fide temple unless these people, brahmanas, perform a sacrifice. But Srila Prabhupada told his disciples, actually, just by your congregational chanting of the holy name, that's sufficient. But because the local people won't accept it unless we have these brahmanas perform the sacrifice, that's he did that, and the for those kinds of sacrifices, it's essential that you have somebody who's qualified like that. But In the age of Kali, everything we do is supposed to be, like the whole morning program, all the different things we do is like preceded and followed by the chanting of the holy name, because that's a real sacrifice. So somebody want to read 34?
By those riches, the king could procure the ingredients for 3 horse sacrifices. Thus, the pious King Yudhishthir, who was very fearful after the battle of Kurukshetra, pleased Lord Hari, the personality of Godhead.
Report.
Maharaj Yudhishthir was the ideal and celebrated pious king of the world, and still he was greatly afraid after the execution of the battle of Kurukshetra, because of the mass killing in the fight, all of which was done only to install him on the throne. He therefore took all the responsibility for sins committed in the warfare, and to get rid of all these sins, he wanted to perform 3 sacrifices in which horses are offered at the altar. Such a sacrifice is very costly. Even Maharaj Yudhishthir had to collect the necessary heaps of gold left by Maharaj Maruta and the Brahmanas, who were given gold in charity by King Maruta. The learned Brahmanas could not take away all the loads of gold given by Maharaj Maruta, and therefore they left behind the major portion of the gift. And Maharaj Maruta also did not again collect such heaps of gold given away in charity. Besides that, all the golden plates and utensils which were used in the sacrifice were also thrown in the dustbins, and all such heaps of gold remained unclaimed property for a long time, till Maharaj Yudhishthir collected them for his own purposes. Lord Sri Krishna advised the brothers of Maharaj Yudhishthir to collect the unclaimed property because it belonged to the king. The more astonishing thing is that no subject of the state also collected such unclaimed gold for industrial enterprise or anything like that. This means that the state citizens were completely satisfied with all necessities of life, and therefore not inclined to accept unnecessary productive enterprises for sense gratification. Maharaj Yudhishthir also requisitioned the heaps of gold for performing sacrifices and for pleasing the Supreme Hari, personality of Godhead. Otherwise, he had no desire to collect them for the state treasury.
One should take lessons from the acts of Maharaj Yudhishthir. He was afraid of sins committed on the battlefield, and therefore he wanted to satisfy the supreme authority. This indicates that unintentional sins are also committed in our daily occupational discharge of duties, and to counteract even such unintentional crimes, one must perform sacrifices as they are recommended in the revealed scriptures. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Yajnyartat karmano nyatra loko yam karma bandhana, that one must perform sacrifices recommended in the scriptures in order to get rid of commitments of all unauthorized work, or even unintentional crimes which we are apt to commit. By doing so, one shall be freed from all kinds of sins. And those who do not do so, but work for self-interest or sense gratification, have to undergo all tribulations accrued from committed sins. Therefore, the main purpose of performing sacrifices is to satisfy the Supreme Personality, Hari. The process of performing sacrifices may be different in terms of different times, places, and persons, but the aim of such sacrifices is one and the same at all times and in all circumstances, vis-à-vis satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, Hari. That is the way of pious life, and that is the way of peace and prosperity in the world at large. Maharaj Yudhishthira did all these as the ideal pious king in the world.
Such a beautiful paragraph, talking about the essence of religion, to perform a sacrifice to please the Supreme Lord, and by that one becomes free from whatever accidental and sinful things he did. Continue.
If Maharaj Yudhishthir is a sinner in this daily discharge of duties in royal administration of state affairs, wherein killing of man and animals is a recognized art, then we can just imagine the amount of sins committed consciously or unconsciously by the untrained population of the Kali Yuga, who have no way to perform sacrifice to please the Supreme Lord. The Bhagavatam says, therefore, that the prime duty of the human being is to satisfy the Supreme Lord by the performance of one's occupational duty. Bhagavatam 1.2.13.
Let any man of any place or community, caste or creed be engaged in any sort of occupational duty, but he must agree to perform sacrifices as it is recommended in the scriptures for the particular place, time, and person. In the Vedic literatures, it is recommended that in Kali Yuga people engage in glorifying the Lord by chanting the holy name of Krishna. Kirtana Deva Krishnaya Mukta Sangha Param Vrajet. Without offense. By doing so, one can be freed from all sins and thus can attain the highest perfection of life by returning home, back to Godhead. We have already discussed this more than once in this great literature in different places, especially in the introductory portion by sketching the life of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and still we are repeating the same with a view to bring about peace and prosperity in society.
So when the point is, it doesn't really matter what one does for their livelihood. They can do whatever occupational duty they want as long as they worship the Lord by engaging in the Sankirtan. Continue.
The Lord has declared openly in the Bhagavad Gita how he becomes pleased with us. And the same process is practically demonstrated in the life and preaching work of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The perfect process of performing yagyas or sacrifice is to please the Supreme Lord Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to get us free from all the miseries of existence, is to follow the ways of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this dark age of quarrel and dissension.
Maharaj Yudhishthira had to collect heaps of gold to secure the paraphernalia for the horse sacrifice yagya in days of sufficiency. So we can hardly think of such performances of yagya in these days of insufficiency and complete scarcity of gold. At the present moment, we have heaps of papers and promises of their being converted into gold by economic development of modern civilization. And still, there is no possibility of spending riches like Maharaj Yudhishthira, either individually or collectively or by state patronization. Just suitable, therefore, for the age is the method recommended by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in terms of the Shastras. Such a method requires no expenditure at all and yet can reward more benefit than other expensive methods of yajna performances.
So such a wonderful, simple thing, chanting Hare Krishna, right? Lord Chaitanya gave to everyone in this age. It doesn't cost a dime. You can do it any time, any place. You can become free from all sinful reactions. You can develop love of God. You can go back to God, and you can encourage others to do that also.
The horse sacrifice yajna or cow sacrifice yajna performed by the Vedic regulations shouldn't be misunderstood as a process of killing animals. On the contrary, animals offered for the yajna were rejuvenated to a new span of life by the transcendental power of chanting the Vedic hymns, which, if properly chanted, are different from what is understood by the common layman. The Veda mantras are all practical, and the proof is rejuvenation of the sacrificial animal.
Elsewhere, Srila Prabhupada explains here the animal would attain a new animal body, or else it would attain a new human body as a result of the sacrifice.
The horse sacrifice yajna or cow sacrifice
the
yajna?
The next one.
Okay.
There's no possibility.
Okay, I'm sorry. There's no possibility of such methodical chanting of the Vedic hymns by the so-called brahmanas or priests of the present age. The untrained descendants of the twice-born families are no more like their forefathers, and thus they're counted amongst the shudras or only once-born men. The once-born man is unfit to chant the Vedic hymns, and therefore there is no practical utility of chanting the original hymns. And to save them all, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu propounded the Sankirtana movement, or yajna, for all practical purposes, and the people of the present age are strongly recommended to follow the sure and recognized path.
So it's just amazing to see how many times Prabhupada is recommending Sankirtan in his purports. Okay, we just have a little bit left. A very short purport and two translations.
Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, being invited to the sacrifices of Maharaj Yudhisthira, saw to it that they were performed by qualified twice-born Brahmins. After that, for the pleasure of the relatives, the Lord remained a few months. Lord Sri Krishna was invited by Maharaj Yudhisthira to look into the supervision of the performances of yajna, and the Lord, to abide by the orders of his elderly cousin, caused the performance of yajnas by learned twice-born brahmanas. Simply taking birth in the family of a brahmana does not make one qualified to perform yajnas. One must be twice-born by proper training and initiation from the bona fide acharya. The once-born scions of Brahmin families are equal with the once-born shudras, and such Brahmin bandhus, or unqualified once-born scions, must be rejected for any purpose of religious or Vedic function. Lord Sri Krishna was entrusted to look after this arrangement, and perfect as he is, he caused the yajnas to be performed by the bona fide twice-born brahmanas for successful execution.
O Shanika, thereafter the Lord, having bade farewell to King Yudhishthira, Draupadi and other relatives, started for the city of Dwarka, accompanied by Arjuna and other members of the Yadu dynasty.
So, in addition to talking about the verses and purports, I wanted to talk about this more or less shocking, sudden passing away of three of our friends. Yesterday, one thing that came to mind, actually, it's from this section in the Bhagavatam, deals with the untimely death of someone who is young. There's the whole pastime of Abhimanyu. So as we know, we are hearing elaborately described recently in one of our classes that Abhimanyu, he knew how to break into some military arrangement, but he didn't know how to get out, and therefore the crew was ganged up on him and very cruelly and unrighteously killed him. So the son of Arjuna, so he left his body at the age of 16. But it turns out in his previous life he was the son of the moon god, and the devas were asking the moon god to give to let his son enter into human society and help out in this because Krishna appeared and all his associates were appearing for this purpose of reestablishing the principles of religion. So they wanted the son of the moon god to help out in this battle of Kurukshetra. So he did that. He did very valiantly, heroically. But the moon god, his original, he said, "You can have my son, but I love my son so much. You can only have him for 16 years. And then he comes back to me." So that was the deal. So Subhadra and Arjuna were certainly very much upset that this Abhimanyu, their son, you know, they left, you know, in this terrible, unexpected catastrophe. But actually, the moon god was very happy to get his son back. So the point being that we actually only see a little bit of the story. We don't see the whole story. And therefore, it's bewildering for us. But if we did see the whole story, it wouldn't be bewildering. And Krishna is the person who does see the whole story. But we never will see the whole story because that's not our position. We're not that knower of all bodies. We know our own body and this one little life, but our many previous lives, our many future lives, we have no clue of. But Krishna knows our whole history and our desires and what we deserve, like that. So that's one thing. And the other thing I wanted to mention, which is more positive, I think, is the fact this whole section of the Bhagavatam was simply talking about how the way to please the Lord in this age is by Sankirtan. And all these three individuals, they were all very much dedicated to Sankirtan. They all loved chanting the holy name. This Yadupati, during the previous administration, when Savya was in charge, there was this devotee, Kartamasa, and he would chant, he was getting his master's degree at UF, and he would chant every Wednesday. And I would pick up Yadupati in lacrosse and drive into Gainesville, and I would play the cartels, and Yadupati would play the drum and kartana. So I would play the harmonium and sing beautifully at Krishna lunch every Wednesday for probably a year or two when Kartamasa was working on his master's degree. And he was very enthusiastic. So may not think of him as a preacher, but he took great pleasure in sharing the holy name with others. He also, he was putting up on that Gainesville kirtan list, "There isn't enough kirtan in Gainesville." And I said, "Well, you should come to the farmer's market." And he said, "Well, I don't know if I'd be allowed." And I said, "Well, of course, everyone can come to the farmer's market." So he actually came last week. After like 4 weeks, he finally came. And Bhakti Marg Swami was there, and there's 28 devotees, and we had this incredible kirtan. And he was so happy that he came. Actually, somebody, Gargamuni, posted a picture of him at the farmer's market on his Facebook wall. That's sometimes people criticize Facebook as being a distraction, but actually for being a forum to share memories we have of devotees, it's actually very good. And unfortunately, I lost six rounds of my japa because I stayed up too late looking at the Facebooks of these different devotees. I put something on Yadupati's Facebook, and I mentioned Kar, because that we chanted together. And so of course that put a little note on his wall, so-and-so mentioned you. And he had a little realization which I'd like to share. Too much to write here, but so many realizations about what a small family we are and how we are all eternally linked and together as soldiers in Lord Chaitanya's army. Essentially, we will be having kirtan together forever. So Gautama saw, so he was chanting with Yamuna Devi the day before she left her body. So he's been thinking about this subject a lot recently. So, and then we all know about Bhakta Tim, how dedicated he was. There was never a time I could invite him on Harinam and he wouldn't be interested. You know, he was always interested. One time, we chanted at the Alacho Christmas Parade and then the High Springs Christmas Parade. And then we did Harinam from the High Springs Christmas Parade to Rohini Kumar's wife's, Vaishnavi's, autistic, school, where she had a program of kirtan for an hour and prasadam. And then we drove back to Gainesville and every Saturday we did Harinam in Gainesville, you know, and even though there was already the Alacho Christmas Parade, the High Springs Christmas Parade, this Harinam to Vaishnavi's place and an hour of kirtan, I suggested that we do our regular Harinam, and everyone was like so fired up from all this kirtan. So we put 9 people in Tim's car. how many of you were there? Sorry. And we drove downtown and we did Harinam and had a wonderful time. And we became so purified we realized that we could make 2 trips with 5 people and that was actually better. But but it was just so nice to see his, you know, I could get a ticket. How can I put 9 people in my car? You know, no, let's go on Harinam. And then this Nitai, basically, I got connected with him because he was involved in that rainbow gathering in 2005. Many, many rainbow gatherings, but the one I went to in 2005 in West Virginia, where many, many nice things happened. Like I met this girl named Alicia, who later became Hare Krishna, and I sold a mechanistic and non-mechanistic science book to a hippie guy who came to the rainbow gathering. That book is even hard to sell at the colleges, but some hippie guy bought this esoteric book by Sadaputta. I taught a bunch of people japa in one of the tent there, and they're really appreciative. And to get to the, Rath Yatra in Washington, I got a ride with a Prabhupada disciple who happened to be selling paraphernalia to the hippies. And he put a sign on the ride board, going to New Jersey. And so I just had a lot of nice connections. So there's, and then we did a big Harinam with all these hippies. And Adi Carter was there, and Adi Carter's son was there. And just a lot of very beautiful memories. They put out a little DVD, I think, called Krishna Camp. 2005. It's worth watching. So he was so into it. He went to Burning Man and he would organize prasadam and he loved prasadam. And that's the other sacrifice that's really mentioned. It's just described that the devotees of the Lord, they become free from sins by eating food first offered for sacrifice. Otherwise, people eat barely only sin. So that's, we engage people in sacrifice when we serve prasadam, and he would organized tons of prasadam for these rainbow gatherings and this Burning Man. And it's such a trip to collect the money, to buy all the ingredients, to get the ingredients to the site, to get people to cook them. And it's like a whole ordeal. But he very happily did that in service. And of course, there was so much kirtan going on, as well as the distribution of the prasadam. So these are all people who were very exemplary by their attachment to the Yuga Dharma. And therefore, their destination is very good, although their disappearance suddenly is very shocking. So, enough for me. If anybody else has anything they'd like to say, please do so. Does anybody have anything to say?
When Chaitanya told me about what happened yesterday, initially it's like I couldn't believe it. I didn't want to believe it. And then just, you know, all the kirtan that we've done with Tim and all the experiences I've had with him, I just started thinking about all of them, and I just felt like I wish that I could just tell him like one more time how appreciated he was and how loved that he was. And I know like we've all told him that before, but just to express how deep that love and that appreciation is. And so immediately I just felt like I wanted to tell all the devotees and all the people that I know how much I appreciate and love them and how their good qualities are so inspiring. And so I just wanted to express that to all of you. And Tim was just always encouraging us. If it weren't for Tim, I don't think I ever would have done any kirtan at Krishna Lunch. I always wanted to do it, like, in my heart, but I just felt like, you know, like it was better for him, better for everyone listening, for, like, Tim or someone else to do it, but Tim just, like, wouldn't take no for an answer. So it was just because of his encouragement and enthusiasm that I kept doing kirtan. And
yeah.
Tim was one of the first people I met in Gainesville, and he was also the first devotee that my sister ever met, Tim and Vrindavan. And Tim would always, we went camping once with my sister and her friend Dustin, and I invited Tim to come with Lamaya and Vrindavan. And my sister was in her devotees are crazy phase, and Tim would keep talking about Krishna, and it's just like, who the hell is Krishna? I don't want to hear about it. Stop talking about it, you know, just, you know. But Tim was just like always just like thinking about it, you know, that was always on his mind. And then another time I went camping to this was later on, it was Kartik of last year, not the year that just passed, but the year before, and we went camping to this place at Keystone Heights, and Tim of course arrived late, like always, with Vrindavan, like at 9 o'clock at night or something, we'd always do that. And but the next morning, we all went to, Jagadish was there, and Amaya, my sister, and I, we found out that there was a local farmer's market Saturday morning. So we just decided to go and do Harinam at the farmer's market, like, spontaneously. So we went out there, you know, and Tim found the lady in charge of the farmer's market, and she's like, oh yeah, please just sit down here. And we chanted there for like an hour or so, and then we did Harinam up and down like the main street of the town, and like Tim was so happy. He's like, these people have probably never heard kirtan before in their life, you know. And, like, just so happy to share that with everybody. And that was my sister's first Harinam also. And I don't know, I just really appreciate Tim, like everything that he's done for me, because I don't know, just like thinking back on it. Oh, I'm sorry that I'm crying.
I remember Tim also, he encouraged me in chanting, because he was, even though he got he had a degree in piano from UF, he was a very good musician, and I'm a very mediocre musician, he was always kind enough to let me sing, even though he was, you know, far better than me.
I was going to say the same thing, that he was very encouraging to everyone. He would let everyone do kirtan. So many times, like, not everyone has the chance to do kirtan because they're shy, or I don't know, they don't want to do it. The team was always very encouraging. Like, even though you were playing, like, and, like, you were doing something else, like, he'll be like, yeah, just do it. Like, she'll tell Stephanie, just play. Some people play the gym and just engage everyone in doing kirtan. So that's very nice. And I also told this story last night. We were in Miami, and we went basically just to the kirtan, but this yoga studios. No, we have like a pass to the hotel, like 5-star hotel in South Beach, and so we wanted to Dharma and me with massage and. Just like so, like it's cool. So I ran to the car, from the house to the car, and then I was so in such a hurry. I was changing in the street, and I locked the key inside the trunk. I was like, oh my God, Tim is gonna be so angry. But he didn't say anything. He was just laughing. He's like, you see, I told you we should just do Harinam. You know, but he didn't get angry or anything. He was always in good mood and encouraging everyone.
Sure. I just remember there's so many times when Tim would be leading kirtan, and I would feel like, okay, I could die right now. Yeah. And I feel grateful because I think we have a lot of those like filmed, also and recorded. Like, for example, that video that Hillary made for the church that we wanted to buy. There's like this short clip of Tim leading kirtan in the Plaza of the Americas, and No, thank you. And you know, it was just very clear that he had an incredible relationship to the Holy Name. And like everyone's saying, he desperately wanted to share that with everybody. And he did. And he did it so well. And I mean, some of the best kirtans that I've ever been a part of, like Harinam, it's been Tim's organization. Like, I remember a couple years ago, you know, we were doing those late night Harinams practically every weekend, and this one weekend, Tim was like super fired up to like get everyone out there. There was like 30 devotees out there that night. So humble and sweet, and always just such a good
I just want to say one thing about those late-night kirtans. I think recently there's been more people who are fond of sadhana and getting up early in the morning, so there hasn't been so much interest in the late night kirtans. But I think maybe they could be done like once a month or something like that, because we do reach people. There are people who've met the devotees from those late night kirtans, and it's not the end of the world to sacrifice your sadhana every once in a while to benefit other people. Please, Chaitanya.
So, Tim and Yaru were definitely my first devotee friends, the first devotees I hung out with outside of Krishna Lunch. Like, I would go to Krishna Lunch almost every day, but they were the first people that I hung out with outside of Krishna Lunch, and we started hanging out a lot, and definitely doing kirtan as much as possible. And I think my favorite thing about hanging out with them was how accepting they were of anyone who wanted to try Krishna consciousness. They never judged anyone, and they definitely never discouraged anyone. So that was definitely my first taste of Krishna consciousness, was that. And I really enjoyed their association so much that I even like moved in with Yaru. Yaru was my roommate for a while. And he had this little tiny room, maybe like a little bigger than the Pujari room, where he didn't even have a bed. He had like this little mat. But like, oh, the whole room was covered in mridangas, like stacked everywhere. And they didn't even fit in his room. We had like a living room, and he like set them up as decorations on like tables. It was a whole house full of mridangas, and he would just play mridanga all day long in his room. It was awesome. And